Well, I said this morning that the message tonight would be entitled Good News for Thirsty People. So you won't have too much difficulty in detecting the verse I'm going to speak from here in John chapter 7. I'm focusing particularly on the verses 37 and 38. 37 and 38 of John chapter 7. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Here is, I put it to you, good news for thirsty people. Before we come to look at those verses in detail, let me just say a little bit about the background to those verses. The setting, you see, we find out from verse 1, is the Feast of the Tabernacles. Verse 2, rather. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. The Feast of Tabernacles was one of the major Jewish feasts, along with Pentecost and the Passover. The Feast of Tabernacles commemorated primarily God's leading of his people through the wilderness. It was also giving thanks at that time for an ingathered harvest. But primarily God's leading through those years in the wilderness. It was to remind them of that time when they had no permanent dwelling place, when they dwelt in shelters and booths and tents. And here, from all over Israel, the people would come to Jerusalem to remember the divine guidance of that time and God's provision for them. A very important landmark time in Israel's history. Many would come and dwell in temporary shelters made out of palm branches. And they would do so throughout the duration, the 8 days of the feast. One of the ceremonies that happened on every day of the feast was that a golden flagon, or a pitcher if you like, was filled with water from the pool of Siloam. And it was carried in a procession led by the high priest himself. There would be three joyful blasts of the trumpet as the pilgrims watched this procession enter the temple. And every man, every male pilgrim would wave palm branches in his hand as it entered. And the cry would go up as they came into the temple, "Give thanks to the Lord." And then the water would be poured out into a silver bowl before being poured out onto the earth beside the altar. And while all this was going on, the people would recite words. Some of them we've read this evening, words from Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3 would be recited. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." They sang the Psalms from Psalm 113 through to 118, the Hallel. And that includes such words as, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." This was the key, if you like, the big ceremony of the Feast of Tabernacles. But on the last day of the feast, the expectancy was heightened. There was great excitement. It was the last day, the great day, the climax, if you like, of the feast. And the pilgrims are thanking God for preserving them in all of their wilderness wanderings, from giving them water from the rock. Remember that Moses struck, we read that. "Save now, I pray, O Lord, send now prosperity," they would say. That would be some of the last words they would sing from Psalm 118. And it's while all this is going on, and the timing's important, it's while this is going on that Jesus stands up. The timing's crucial. The pilgrims, they're thanking God for his goodness in the past, for bringing them that water from the rock. praying for future blessing, and Jesus stands, verse 37. Jesus normally taught people sitting down. And we did that at his first sermon, on the Sermon on the Mount. He went and sat, and his disciples and the people gathered around him. That's what he did at the commencement of his ministry. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. But now, his ministry on earth is drawing toward a close. There's about 6 months left before he will be crucified. The crowds at this feast are seeking God, seeking blessing. And Jesus rises, stands in some prominent place in the temple precincts, and cries out, "If any man thirsts, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Here are wonderful words. Jesus is saying, what you are seeking is to be found in me. They'd just given thanks for the water that God had given them from the rock there in the wilderness. But of course, as the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:4, that rock was Christ, he says. It's Christ in the sense that he's the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types and shadows. He's rivers of water in a dry place. He's the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, as Isaiah says. He himself is the personal embodiment of all those Old Testament types and shadows, and of all that the prophets of old spoke of. Turn your eyes away from the shadows. Look to the reality. Look to me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So we'll look at these words this evening. They're words that Jesus cried out. They come from his bounding heart of love and mercy and compassion. He knew that the thousands who were gathered there in Jerusalem at the feast had far greater needs than their ancestors in the wilderness. Theirs was a physical thirst. But Christ here is thinking of their spiritual thirst, that great need which faced all the great crowds gathered before him, the needs of their eternal souls. And of course, it's the great need of humanity this evening. It's the need of all tonight who are filling their lives with things that can never really satisfy them. Those who are desperately seeking, as it were, to quench their thirst for an endless round of this world's pleasures, of partying, some float from one partner to another, some seek fulfillment in drugs. It's the need of those who are seeking to find fulfillment in their jobs, perhaps, their education, their families, or just in trying to keep up with their neighbours. This world, in all of its need, searching for fulfillment, to this world Jesus says, come to me and drink. The prophet Isaiah had said in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And Jesus here tells us he is the water. He's the water of life. Come to me and drink. There are three words here in verse 37 that really encapsulate the gospel message. They're simply these. First, come and drink. Couldn't be simpler, could it? First, come and drink. Here are the essential elements, ingredients of the gospel in a single short sentence from the lips of the Saviour himself. Those who were gathered in Jerusalem long ago, watching intently the high priest pouring the water on the ground, taken up with these ceremonial rites, they suddenly hear a voice. Every eye turns towards Christ. Stop looking there, says Jesus. Stop looking to form and ceremony. They cannot save you. Look to me. And that's what I want us to do this evening, to look to Christ, to listen to what he has to say to us. He begins, your note, by speaking of those who thirst. If any man thirst, see, among that vast crowd gathered there, Jesus is looking for those who thirst. What kind of thirst is he talking about? Well, he's talking about spiritual thirst. Search for spiritual fulfillment. A thirst for righteousness, to be free from sin. Remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who what? Who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he says. They shall be filled. That's what Jesus says of those who will inherit the kingdom of heaven. If any man thirst, what is it to thirst? I'm sure you don't need me to explain this to you in depth. I think many of us know what it is to be thirsty. We must all of us, I'm sure, at some point in our lives, been at a point where, through lack of water, perhaps we've set out on a long hike. I know some of you do that kind of thing. And it's further than you thought, and you begin to dehydrate, and you become very thirsty. If that's happened to you, you'll know what thirst means. You don't need me to come along and give you a dictionary definition of what it means to be thirsty. If any man thirst, says Jesus, if any man thirst, is that you tonight? Are you discontented with your life, discontented with the pleasures of this life? Are you beginning to realize that living for yourself, living for pleasure, living for self-indulgence doesn't satisfy? The more you have, the more you want. It can't satisfy. You're beginning to thirst. You know, Jesus says to you tonight of the waters of this world exactly the same as he said, you remember, to the woman at the well. He said of the water she was drawing, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, he says. That's absolutely true. We could spend the rest of our lives seeking satisfaction in the things of this world, and we will not find that satisfaction. But this verse speaks of something more than a general uneasiness, a dissatisfaction with our lives. It speaks of a craving, of a burning desire to know God, which is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's hungering and thirsting for righteousness, as Jesus said. It's hungering and thirsting to be right with God. You see, here's someone who knows, therefore they're not right with God. They know that God is holy. They know that they are sinful. They know that they're guilty. They know they've broken God's commands. And they take to heart what Jesus says about the spirituality of the law of God. Remember, he says in the Sermon on the Mount that for a man even to look upon a woman, to lust after her, is to commit adultery in his heart. Where does that leave us tonight? He tells us also, he says, to be angry with your brother without a cause is tantamount to committing murder in your heart, he says. Who of us here hasn't committed murder? It's to understand, to know that God, who is holy, cannot receive us as we are with our sinful hearts. If he did, if he could, we would pollute God's holy heaven. And the Bible tells us that nothing that defiles shall enter God's heaven. So it's to thirst, it's to long to be righteous. It's to desire cleansing from our sin. It's to desire pardon. It's to be aware of our weakness and our absolute impotence in spiritual things, our inability to live a holy life. It's to long for forgiveness and to be at peace with God. If any man thirsts, says Jesus now. Remember, these words are spoken in the temple. These words were spoken to very religious people. Many of them had travelled hundreds of miles to be at this feast. So Jesus isn't addressing the irreligious. He's not speaking to agnostics. He's not speaking to atheists. He's speaking to religious people. And you know, we can be religious, and yet we can be very far from God. The Pharisees were in Christ's day. The big question is this: do we thirst? Do we long for righteousness? Do we long to be more like Christ? Do we long to live for God? But God says to us in his word, be ye holy, for I am holy. That is, holy in thought, holy in word, holy in deed. Thirst, this kind of thirst, is essential. Because if you're not thirsty, you will not drink. And of course, the sad reality is most people in our country are not thirsty spiritually. They see no need of Christ. They see no beauty in Christ. God, Almighty God, may just as well not have bothered sending his son to die on the cross for them, as far as they're concerned. They're totally unaware of their need of a Saviour. They've no desire to know him. So the cry of Christ, the gospel message, goes out to all. And it's absolutely sincere. If any one thirsts, yet most ignore the message completely. But to those who do thirst, to any here this evening who thirst, to any who truly long to be forgiven by God and to experience his salvation, to experience his love, his pardon, his mercy, Jesus says, come. Let him come to me. If you're thirsty tonight, Jesus Christ is the fountain. I don't know if they still do this today. Health and safety regulations change, don't they? But when I was at school, which was a few years ago now, there always used to be a fountain in the playground. Do they still have them? Oh, they do. Oh, good. I'm pleased about that. And you're running around and you're becoming thirsty. What do? You ran to the fountain for a drink. You approached the fountain. You didn't stop and think and debate. You know, I wonder how that fountain works, what the principles are, how water comes up out of the top when I press the lever. You just went to the fountain and you drank. And Jesus says, here, if you're thirsty, come to me. Come to me. But what does that mean? Well, if Jesus were standing here tonight and said, come to me, I think we know what we would do. We'd get up out of our seats and we'd begin to walk towards him. We'd move towards him. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying to us this evening. Only the movement is not with our feet, it's an action of our will. You're thirsting for God, thirsting for salvation. You want to know God's forgiveness and pardon. And Jesus says, come to me. Move towards me. What does that mean? It means, dear friends, we have to abandon self-confidence, self-help. We have to acknowledge our sin. We need to turn from it. We need to abandon any hope that we may have of finding forgiveness and salvation outside of Christ. And we need to come to him. In fact, it's to do spiritually what the prodigal son did in Luke 15, you'll remember. Remember the story of the prodigal son that went off and wasted his substance, his inheritance with prodigal living. And he came to his senses in the end. And Jesus said of him, there came a day, he says, when he came to himself. He came to himself and he did something. He said, I will arise and go to my father. That's Luke 15:18. And verse 20 says, he arose. He arose. That's what Jesus said. And that's what Jesus calls us to do this evening. Arise and with a decisive act of your will, move towards Christ. And turn your back on every other hope of salvation. And at Christ's word, come to him. Come to him. Come to me, he says. He doesn't say, come to church. That's good to come to church. But there's no salvation in just coming to church. He doesn't say, come and be baptized. Well, if we're saved, we will be baptized. He doesn't even say, come to the Lord's table. He says, come to me. Come to Christ himself. If we do not come to him, we will thirst forever and forever and forever. There's no quenching of our thirst in hell. The fire is not quenched there, and the worm does not die, said Jesus. Come to me. There's something more in this verse. We thirst, we come, but then we must drink. We must drink. We've got to drink the water. What does that mean? It means we take Christ to ourselves unreservedly. You see, you might be dying of thirst, shall we say, in the desert. You may find in the desert a fountain of water. You can look at the water. You can admire the water. But it won't save your life unless you drink the water. Drink, says Christ. It's another way of saying, receive me by faith. There's that little acrostic on the word faith. You remember, forsaking all, I trust him. I trust him. I believe him. I ask this wonderful person, the Son of God, to save me, to come into my life. And what we're saying, in effect, when we do that is this, oh Lord, come and do for me what I could never do for myself. Save me. As we read in the Old Testament, with joy, take the cup of salvation and quench your thirst and make Christ your own, to be your Lord, your Saviour, your Redeemer, and your friend, your all and in all. That's what we must do. We must come to him, and we must receive him by faith. Jesus Christ is God's provision for people in their sin. He is, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, the wisdom of God. See, because of our sinful natures, people despise God's wisdom. You know what jokes are made at Christ's expense? Those people like me who believe in him are often held up to ridicule. Poor people, you know, weak people, deluded people. What is it that makes unbelievers think like that? It's sin. It's pride. It's our rebellious, sinful natures. And who is it who rejoices to see people rejecting Christ and despising God's Son? It's Satan, God's enemy, the adversary of his people. He rejoices when Jesus Christ, who is wisdom incarnate, is called foolishness. When people choose to remain in his kingdom of darkness rather than turning to Christ and God's kingdom of light. Come to me, says Christ. Listen to me. Hear my voice. Respond to my invitation. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. What will happen then? What will happen if we obey his voice? Look at verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This all comes about through the cross at Calvary, of course. And John goes on to tell us there's a prophetic note to Jesus' words here. The rivers of living water would come after Jesus had been crucified, after he had been raised from the dead, after his sacrifice for sin had been accepted, after his ascension and glorification. Verse 39, this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit was given in all of his wondrous fullness at Pentecost. And those believing in Jesus certainly had their thirst quenched then. They were filled, and out of their hearts flowed literally rivers of living water. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit would make all of Christ's disciples to be as fountains themselves, overflowing to others. And of course we know that is what happened at Pentecost. As the disciples gave witness, you remember, to the wonderful acts of God in the varying languages of all the people who were gathered there on that occasion. But it's also a picture of what happens to every believer in Christ. All who believe receive the Holy Spirit. All who believe are indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. And they begin to rejoice. And the blessing overflows to others. It's not always appreciated. I don't know about you, but I can think back to when I was first saved. I used to go out drinking. I was very good at playing darts. And of course they lost their star darts player overnight. And one began to speak about Christ, and people think you're mad. They think you're mad. They don't understand the wisdom of God. You notice here, this is not a command. Jesus didn't say to believers, now, let rivers of waters flow. He says, if you believe in me, they will flow, he says. They will flow. In other words, you'll be a different person. You will, in fact, as the Apostle tells us, be a new creation. Old things will pass away. All things have become new. Our life is renewed. The old selfish habits disappear, and we're filled with the love of God in Christ, and we begin to show that love to others. It's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? And a wonderful thing to see. Wonderful thing to know in your life, these fountains of living waters springing up. And as we continue to look to Christ, as we continue to believe, as we live for Him and seek to serve Him, the waters keep flowing. He who believes in me, who believes now, who continues to believe, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I like that. Rivers. Not a drop. Not a trickle. Rivers. An abundance of living water. I can't help thinking some of the Lord's people have a blockage. We need to call for the spiritual drain doctor to come. Quite often the reason is this simply, isn't it? We've wandered from the fountain. We're not, as we read earlier, drawing water with joy daily at the well of salvation. And our Christian life becomes dull and tedious, and a kind of mechanical religious routine. What's the answer? To come to Christ. The answer is to repent and come to Christ afresh. And acknowledge our dryness. Acknowledge our dullness. Acknowledge, admit we wandered. Seek His forgiveness. So that the living water may flow again. One thing is certain. If we live near to the heart of God, near to His Son, those waters will flow. If you've never come to Him, then, dear friend, you need to come to Him. You need to open your heart to Him and lay everything out before Him. Tell Him everything and ask His forgiveness and live for Him who died for you. None are too old to do that, and none are too young, you know. Here's the condition again. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, you may come. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Believe on Christ, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. You'll say, now I'm really living. Now I'm really alive. Not just physically, but spiritually. Alive to God, alive to the giver of life, alive to my fellow man. We know why we're here. We know where we're going. That we must come to Him. We must come and drink. And if we come to Him and drink, the promise of Christ is we will never thirst again. Never, ever. Not for time, not for all eternity. It's interesting, isn't it, how those words are virtually repeated right at the end of the New Testament in Revelation 22:17. From heaven, where Jesus Christ reigns, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. We can't earn it. We can only receive God's salvation as a free gift. Good news. Great news for thirsty, bankrupt sinners who are without God and without hope. Come buy, says Isaiah, without money and without price. Come to Christ. That was Christ's great longing for those attending that Feast of Tabernacles long ago and from heaven. It's his longing tonight. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful, gracious invitation. Lord, some of us have heard it many, many times before. Some of us, Lord, have even preached on it many times. But Lord, we pray that it may never lose its wonder and its grip upon our lives. And when we're feeling low, Lord, and when we're feeling discouraged, when the enemy comes to us and seeks to unsettle us, oh Lord, we pray that we might put all these things to rest and believe your word, that we've come to Christ, and whoever comes to him, he shall in no wise cast away. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation. And we do pray again, Lord. We pray earnestly, earnestly, Lord, for those of our number, some not here tonight, Lord, who as yet are outside of your kingdom, particularly in our families, Lord. Lord, hear our cry. Begin to work in their hearts by your Spirit. Give them a thirst, a spiritual hunger, which will not go away. Lord, draw them to yourself. Draw them to your Son. Have mercy upon them. And oh, Lord, might they grow to be pillars in your church, to be those, Lord, who will serve you in your kingdom until Christ shall come or call. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing that lovely hymn of Horatius Bonner, 549. Verse 2 says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one. Stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched. My soul revived, and now I live in him. 549.
Thirsty one, sip out and drink and win. I ate to Jesus and I drank all that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this darkness light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in Him I saw my Son, and Him that light of life I walked till traveling days are done.
Lord, we thank You for He who is the Good Shepherd, the great shepherd of His sheep. We thank You, Lord, for His voice that we hear so plainly through His word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who applies that word so lovingly to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we might not wander from hearing His voice, from hearing His word. Lord, give us a greater love for the shepherd and a greater longing, Lord, to see others come to know Him. And with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.